have a song here.
I think I know it. About cave sitting. I know that some of you know that I got into that a while. In fact, I even got into it locally a little bit. I took some graduate students from the anthropology department at the Whirlpool Cave. We sat in the dark for 24 hours to see what would happen, and really nothing happened. And then not too long after that, I took Stephen Harrigan, who is a well-known writer, you know, publishes in Texas Monthly quite a bit, because he was doing an article on fear of the dark. Fear of the dark, and he had heard about me from somewhere, I don't know where, but he called me up and said he wanted to go into a cave and sit in the dark. So we did. We went back to Whirlpool Cave, and we were settled down rather nicely. We weren't going to stay too long, you know. But we were prepared to stay 4 or 5 hours. And we had our lights off, and we're sitting there in the dark, and really not saying anything to each other about anything. And all of a sudden, we heard this boom, you know, and it reverberated sort of through the walls. And we realized that, you know, there was a subdivision at that time, development going on, not that far away from the cave. And we sort of, you know, you think that was dynamite? yeah, we think it might have been dynamite, you know. I think it might have been. Let's go. So we didn't stay very long, you know, and he mentioned that briefly in the article. But I was able to do some really interesting cave sitting in Belize. Belize had some great caves for it, nice big clean caves with big formation rooms, and you didn't have to crawl very much. You could just, you know, walk in, you know, scramble over breakdown piles and get back in pretty far in about an hour into some really spectacular caving areas, and then just turn the lights out, and then you had all this incredible acoustics because there were great big cathedral-like rooms with lots of echo capabilities. So I did some cave sitting, and I had some actually fairly spectacular experiences early on, and some of it is kind of pretty hard to believe, some of the stuff that happened, really. I'll tell you the whole story some other time. I've recently been contacted, actually, by some people that are very much into Paleolithic cave art, and they're advancing a thesis, or at least some of them are. It's quite a controversy between the two different camps of Paleolithic cave art people, but the people who have been that I've been talking to are advancing the thesis that sensory deprivation alone will trigger very dramatic states of altered consciousness, and that you can actually see visions in a certain sequence. And they go from basic geometric forms to forms that are geometric cultural forms mixed together to full-blown hallucinations. And the other side says, no, that's baloney, you have to take drugs to get to those places. And they said, well, you know, they might have taken drugs. And they say, no, they only had Amanita muscaria, and that wouldn't do that. You know, so they're getting to... No, they had to have LSD, you know, they had to have mushrooms or whatever, you know, had to have psilocybin or something. You know, a lot of us probably know about those things, but we won't talk about that right now. Anyway, there's a big debate going on, and I've been recruited to help them with their position, because my experience with sensory deprivation was that you can have very dramatic, very strongly visual, and very strongly hallucinatory things happen to you if you've got the right mindset. But I'm not sure this song really communicates that quite so well, but the whole story, which I'll tell another time, does. Anyway, but this song, I think, communicates the feeling of it, because there was definitely an ecstasy about it, no question. It was really cool. It's called Forever on a Flowstone Mobius Strip.